Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this last day of February for 2019, February 28th. And I am so thrilled to have back for the second time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio someone who proved to be an absolutely superb guest the first time she was on, and I am expecting nothing less today. Her name is Audrey Werner, and she is the Dean of Life Issues and Professor at Masters International University of Divinity. She is President and Founder of the Matthew 18 Group, a purity paradigm for our homes, churches, and nation. She is a former sex educator and STD, which means sexually transmitted disease, clinic nurse. She is a purity speaker for Life Talk Crisis Pregnancy Center, a national speaker for RSVP America, sex education expert for the American Academy of Biblical Counselors, and the author of 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Children About Sex, which is our topic today, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Audrey Werner.
Thank you, Chris, for having me on again, and I echo, it's an honor and a privilege to be on for a second time, so I really appreciate you inviting me back.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to other future visits from you as well after these two programs. Well, we already had you give your testimony, your personal testimony of salvation and how you grew in maturity in your Christian life and how you repented of sins that you were experiencing and participating in, and how the Lord really transformed your life as a Christian woman. But for those of our listeners who have not heard the first interview we conducted, please tell our listeners something about the Matthew 18 Group.
The Matthew 18 group is based on Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, and I started this about 20 years ago when my dear friend Eunice Ray, who had started up the RSVP campaign, RSVP America, which stands for Restoring Social Virtue and Purity to America. And in that campaign, which ran from 1994 through to 2004, and during that time, they went, Eunice Ray, along with Dr. Judith Reisman and Colonel Ron Ray, were able to expose Kinsey, Alfred Kinsey's fraudulent science. They were able to get that information to legislators, not only across this country, but across the world. And so from that, they were going to the different legislators in the different states to kind of wake up America to the fact that a lot of our laws were changed, especially in the sex offense section, based on Kinsey's fraud science. So they were doing that, and Eunice Ray had pulled me aside and said, "Audrey, you know, we're doing that in the legislatures, but we would love it if we had an organization that actually went in and kind of woke up the church." Because what I was finding is that I started 20 years ago looking at a Lutheran sex education program, and I found Alfred Kinsey's science had been used to develop the program. So I then started contacting them using the Matthew 18 process, which if your brother's sinning, you go to them. If they don't listen, you take someone else, and if that doesn't work, you take it to the church. Well, I had found that the entire church really is in error, that we've kind of adopted and accepted this graphic method of sex education for children, not knowing where it came from and who developed it. So the Matthew 18 group is about waking up Christians to the fact that we're using Kinsey science, especially in the area of sex education, and encouraging Christians to get back to God's Word. And he's all about chastity, purity, modesty, and self-control.
Well, praise God. And this book, 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Children About Sex, would this be basically a book written in general regarding all children of all ages, or did you have specific age groups in mind in regard to the children involved in this book?
Well, this is for this book is for parents to instruct them on the origins of sex education, where it came from, and what it has done, because we have documented the STD and the pregnancy rates have actually exploded since the 1960s when we officially put sex education in the schools. And so I'm sharing the history behind sex education, what the intent was, who developed it, and what the results have been, and then going into just general biblical principles of how can we be guiding our children, how can we be raising pure kids in today's society. So it's really, I have not only parents that read it, but grandparents and pastors, because it's giving you a lot of good information on what's been going on and why we are where we are today.
Great. And basically what I was specifically asking you is in regard to this book on how not to talk to your kids about sex, what are the age groups of the kids that we should even be talking to about sex? Is there what's the word I'm looking for? What is the youngest age that parents should even begin the process of teaching their children
right
about sex?
Well, the thing to remember with this, Chris, is the fact that we are programmed to think that we have to talk to our kids about sex. And when we groan and think about the talk, we're thinking we have to go in and tell them how a baby is made. We squirm and we struggle with that, and there's a reason for that. But if we look to historically prior to the sexual revolution, what did parents do with their children? Because you never would have talked to your children about sex. You would not have talked to them graphically about intercourse and described it in detail. You would not have made sure that your child knew the correct anatomical name for the genitals. That all came out of the sexual revolution. And the intent or the purpose behind that was actually to sexualize kids and not to prevent STDs or pregnancy. And so looking historically, again, back to what did they used to do, and not just historically, the other factor is how did Scripture approach the topic? How does God in His Word approach that topic? So with this, prior to the sexual revolution, you talked about the flowers, the birds, and the bees. And you could talk to your child, you could talk to your toddler, you could talk to your preschooler about the flowers, the birds, and the bees as you were out in nature, and you could point that out with God's life process. For an example, with our children, when they were 3 or 4 years old, we would go out in the field and find a really pretty flower and find the stamen and the pistil and talk about the flower and how there's a mommy part and a daddy part in it, and isn't that great when the two parts get together, there's a baby flower that falls out, and that's how it is with you, you know. And that starts the foundation for the talk, which you build upon, because only the parent knows where the child is at developmentally and intellectually and emotionally to what kind of information they can handle.
I'm going to give our email address right now for anybody who would like to join us on the air with a question. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and I could readily understand a subject like this any subject about sex is liable to invoke questions from people who want to remain anonymous. So I understand that, but if it's just a general question, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. Before I start going through the 10 tips, I do want to take a listener's question right away, because it touched on something that you just said providentially. Mary in Cork, Ireland, sent in a question. And Mary says, "Hi, Chris and Audrey. Thank you for hosting this very important topic. I believe innocence is a wonderful God-given right to every child, and the longer it lasts for them, the better. The children nowadays here," I'm assuming she means in Cork, Ireland, "down to the age of 3 and under, if they can speak, call their genitals, private parts, by the correct term as if they were talking about their ear or their nose. They are taught this so that they won't ridicule their body parts and use nicknames out of embarrassment. It seems to be the modern way to go forward. I find this reasoning understandable, but personally, I find it embarrassing, especially when I hear a little 4-year-old girl blurt out the name of her private parts in the middle of a conversation without having the wisdom to go with her knowledge. I believe that those parts of the body should be treated with more honor, dignity, and modesty. How do you view this, and how would you see this as robbing them of innocence? What are your thoughts?"
I love her question. That is a wonderful question, Mary. And that's the whole point. The whole point of sex education and the direct graphic approach is to take away children's modesty and to take away that moral innocence. The whole intent today, what we are surrounded with, is a society that is trying to sexualize the kid in every possible way. They want to make sure that children identify with sexual identities now, because we're going to pull, and when you get caught up in sexual identity, it's hard to have your identity in Jesus Christ and to live that out when you start to focus on the sexual identity. So we're pulling kids away from the Lord through sex education, in essence. And so I quote good friends of mine, Gary and Anne Marie Ezzo. They wrote Growing Kids God's Way and Baby Wise. And they wrote a really great curricula called "The Protecting the Innocence of Childhood." And I love the quote out of their workbook. It says, "Childhood innocence is what keeps a child in childhood. Remove the innate innocence of childhood and you remove the essence of childhood. In our 35-plus years of parent education, we've come to realize that nothing assaults childhood innocence faster and with more destructive influence than providing children with inappropriate sex knowledge before they're developmentally ready to emotionally, intellectually, and morally manage such knowledge." And that's a really great point today, because my question is, it's so important that we teach our toddler how to say the genital names, have the correct anatomical term for the genital names, why aren't we teaching them any other part of the body? Why is the focus on the genitals? Which, the point is, that is what they want you to do. They want you to have your child focus on the genitals. And if we look to Scripture, even when the Lord is talking about parts of the body, you never see a reference to the genitals. And I had shared in the last show where, as I got into this and realized, oh my gosh, I've got to wake up everybody in the entire body of Christ. How do I wake them up to this lie of sex education, and how do I get them back to God's Word? And the Lord just kept putting key people in my path, and one of those was Dr. Chris Mitchell, who had written the Song of Songs commentary. And I asked him, I said, "Dr. Mitchell," I said, "is this is God modesty in Scripture?" And he said, "Absolutely." He said, "Audrey, if you notice, even in Song of Songs, that when Solomon is describing his wife, he goes from the navel to the thighs." And he said there's a reason for that, because that was such a holy, procreative area that it was treated with a tremendous amount of modesty. And when we look to the sexual revolution was all about separating out procreation, in matter of fact, eliminating procreation through abortion and sodomy, and then elevating pleasure. And that's where we are in society today. So again, if we start with our children very young, teaching them about modesty and helping them to stay children for as long as possible, protecting their moral innocence, then that goes a long way in helping them in the long run in terms of following purity. So that was a wonderful question.
Yeah, and she actually has a thought. She has, I'm sorry, what did you say?
I just said that was a wonderful question, so I said thank you, Mary.
Oh, okay. And she has a follow-up question. I would love to give your book to my unbelieving neighbor and would appreciate your suggestions as to how to approach her, as I know it is an extremely sensitive and private matter. I'm assuming that her neighbor has children that are doing this, blurting out names of their genitalia. And by the way, Mary in Cork, Ireland, we know that you are visiting the United States, as you have told us. So you'll be able to get that book here in the United States when you arrive, and because we do not ship books out overseas or anywhere outside of the 50 United States because of the shipping costs that CVBBS.com would have to endure. They are our sponsor, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who ships out the books. And, of course, we do not want to burden them with overseas or foreign shipping fees. So it's good for you that you're going to be here in the U.S. to get the book. But if you could, do you have any advice, as she asks, suggestions as to how to approach her neighbor, her unbelieving neighbor?
Yeah. I think the biggest point that you don't have to be a believer to get this, but the biggest point is when we research and when we look at the origins of sex education, the origins of the direct graphic message, and I shared this in the last show, the fact that sex education was developed by Alfred Kinsey, who was a man who interviewed pedophiles who raped children and came up with the conclusion that children are sexual from birth based on that data. And then we have Mary Calderon, who was the medical director for Planned Parenthood, and we have Hugh Hefner. So we have the pornography. Do you realize, I mean, you can say to anybody, do you realize where sex education came from? And you share these three things, of course, anybody can understand that's pretty darn alarming to hear something like that. So it's really, you can start with that preface and then say, this book is about where sex education came from. And I give examples of antique books. I've gone through some antique books and pulled out how we used to talk to our kids. And it's just, it's very interesting just from that perspective alone, just to read historically, what do we used to do with kids, who influenced us, and why do we change? So I hope that helps.
Well, thank you, Mary. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word about the program in Cork, Ireland, and beyond. We'll take one more question before we go into the 10 tips. We have another Mary. This Mary spells her name with an I rather than a Y, and she is in Shillington, Pennsylvania. And Mary from Shillington, Pennsylvania wants to know, I have been very compassionate and involved in assisting people who work with victims of human trafficking. I was wondering if you and your ministry are involved in this at all, and is there any way that I could assist you with your ministry?
Okay. Let me, in terms of assisting me with my ministry, I've had people say that. Definitely pray about, Lord, what can I do? How can I help this woman? And then definitely contact me. I would love to talk to you. In terms of sex trafficking, as we can see, as I talked about the statistics of STDs rising and teen pregnancy rising, something else that alarming that happened is once society started to believe that children are sexual from birth, that also meant buying into the lie that Kinsey said, which was children having sex is not harmful for them at all. As a matter of fact, it's beneficial to them. And we have a lot of people today who truly believe that, that are abusing children. We also have, thanks to Alfred Kinsey's science, pornography was made legal in the 1950s. It used to be against the law. As a matter of fact, Abraham Lincoln had one of the first laws because he saw that soldiers looking at naked pictures, that weakened the troops. So there was a law put into place for that to make sure that wasn't happening. Those laws were all removed once Kinsey Science said we're all sexual animals and we shouldn't be restricted. And it's nothing's harmful. So now we have this awful sex trafficking that we're dealing with. And I remember speaking to one parent group, and I had a parent come up to me who had recently adopted two little girls that had been rescued from sex trafficking, and they were 2 and 4 years old. So when they were 1 and 3 years old, they were put in rooms with men. And so this woman came up and said, oh my gosh, I've got to talk to them about sex because they've had this awful life. And I said, you are to look at these children through Jesus' eyes and not through Kinsey's eyes. And I said, they still need to know about God's standard of purity. They need to know about self-control. They need to know these basic things, chastity and modesty. Those are all things that you can teach them. They've seen the satanic view, but they've not seen God's view. So you still are going to teach those. You're going to look at them through Jesus' eyes, and you're going to treat them like holy, precious children of God and instruct them in that way. So we have to understand that sex education is part of, and it is really childhood pornography, I mean, if we want to get down to it. And I've heard Carol Everett, who's one of the prominent pro-life speakers, when she's out speaking, that's what she calls sex education. It is childhood pornography. And when we look at children being abused, oftentimes they are exposed to pornography by the abuser to prepare them for sex. So the whole push, and I've been working in the church, and now most more recently, now I'm working with state legislators on the fact of we need to get sex ed out of the schools. It used to be against the law to even say the word sexual intercourse in a classroom up to the age of 21. That's how much we protected the moral innocence of our children before. So we need to start to look at these laws where Kinsey Science was used to make this stuff legal, and we need to remove these laws, and we've got to start protecting the moral innocence of our kids. Because if we can raise them up to be pure, then we're not going to be dealing with STDs, we're not going to be dealing with pregnancy, we're not going to be dealing with abortion, kids attracted to pornography. If they've got God's standard of purity, that protects them from all of that, and that's what we need to do, especially in the church, but across the world, we need to be doing that.
Okay, since we are drawing near to our first station break, I might as well take one more listener question before we go into your 10 tips. And by the way, Mary with an I in Shillington, Pennsylvania, please give us your full mailing address in Shillington so that we can have CVBBS.com ship out your free copy of 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex. And thank you for the excellent question. We have Maggie, who is actually the Maggie who listens to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, who directed us and recommended us to interview our guest today, Audrey Werner, Maggie in Plano, Texas. And Maggie says, thank you for doing another show with Chris. I honestly believe that you could do this once a week with the constant assault against godly sexuality and sexual innocence in society today to help keep us educated in this extremely important area. Aside from waiting until ages that are appropriate to speak with our children in a society such as ours, that is so overtly sexualized, what methods would you recommend for protecting our children from information which we do not want them to have, especially if we have no choice but to place them in a public school system?
That is a loaded question. Thanks, Maggie. wow, yeah. And the other thing is, you will hear, I've heard this from a lot of speakers, and that's kind of why my book is also titled How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex, because there's so many authors of Christian sex ed programs that have this rationale that say, You've got to go in there and you've got to talk to your kids about sex first, because they're going to hear it from somebody else, and it's better they hear it from you. I have heard parents, oh my gosh, now I've got to talk about oral sex with my child because that's out there. And then someone else, you know, oh my gosh, now I've got to talk about this and that, because as we get more deviant, then we've got to go and talk to our children about more deviancy. Again, where's our focus? Our focus has to be in raising up the next generation for the Lord. Our focus should be in teaching our children about God's Word. In terms of modesty, teaching your children about modesty and looking away when they, have these. We taught our children when they were young about modesty, about being covered up and not running around naked when they're 5 or 6 or 7. We started to teach them about modesty as they were getting older. And that if, you know, I'll give the example of, I had on, we don't watch TV anymore. That's one way to get rid of it, but we don't watch TV anymore because American television is so graphic. But one morning we had on Good Morning America, and there was a picture of Kim Kardashian from the back, it was very graphic, but they had it on Good Morning America, but it had flashed up so fast, and my young son walked in the room, and he saw it, and he just went, ah, he turned around, because he knew to shield his eyes. We had taught him that early on, that if he's ever exposed to something graphic, to turn away, which is what, you know, God says in his word, we're to turn from, we're to flee from. So general principles like that growing up, and again, if they have a relationship with the Lord, which is should be our first and foremost priority with our children, is that help them have that relationship with the Lord. Because everything, we always said this, everything that you do, we say this to our children all the time, everything that you do represents you, represents your family, and represents the Lord. So it's important that we focus on that with our kids first, and then, build upon that. So, and in terms of putting them in the public school, I have friends who are battling the sex education program, but it is getting so bad, because this is about indoctrinating children. And it is getting so bad that I have so many people that I know that are pulling them. And yes, it's sacrifice. Trust me, I know. We homeschooled, and it was sacrifice because I'm an RN. And instead of me working and helping to support the family, we made the sacrifices for me to be home, to homeschool these kids. So, again, knowing, are we going to put them in the middle of where the enemy is attacking, or are we going to raise them up for the Lord? So,
well, thank you, Maggie, in Plano, Texas. Let us know whether or not you already have this book. If you don't, we'll ship you out a free one. But since you are the one that referred us and recommended us to Audrey Werner, our guest today, I assume you may have it. But if you don't have it, we'll have cvbbs.com ship a copy out to you in Plano, Texas. Make sure we have your full mailing address if you don't have the book. Now we're going to our first break, and please send us an email with a question if you'd like to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Audrey Werner and 10 tips on how not to talk to your kids about sex.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
And citizenpriest.com also has Lutheran apparel. Just want to let our listeners know who might be especially tuning in today to hear Audrey Warner, who is a member of the Missouri Synod Lutheran denomination. We have now returned to our discussion with Audrey Warner on her book, 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we have, first of all, the tip number one in your book, Audrey, as you know, more is caught than is taught. Tell us about that. I have a feeling I know what that means, hearing it from other kids, but if you could, let us know.
We want to start out with parents because we are the first generation to have been lied to and deceived. And by that I mean we were the first generation. I was born in the early 1960s, so I'm referring to from that point on. We were the first generation to have gone through sex education. So what that means is we were taught early on we've been trained and our modesty has been removed. So we watched things and we did things that probably our grandparents didn't do. So I know that this generation of parents, many are struggling with sexual sin that they have from the past. Maybe they're even struggling with sexual sin that they're struggling with now, whether it's addiction to pornography or whatever. So if we're going to raise up the next generation, then we need to make sure first that we are modeling purity and modesty, chastity and self-control to our children, because that speaks volumes over any words that we're going to give to our children. So the first thing is to examine our environment that we have our family in. What are the things that we're watching and that we're spending our time on? What are we putting before our eyes? So that's really, really important. Are we honoring God in what we're watching, in what we're hearing? So that is important, but also the fact that many parents, a lot of parents have come up to me. I had one parent who came up to me in tears and said, "I wish I had you as a parent because my life would have turned out differently." And the point of that was she was struggling with sexual sin, and she said, "How could I possibly talk to my kids about purity when I erred in that area?" And the whole point of that is that we have a loving Savior who died on the cross for our sins, and we have simply to repent of that and to leave that at the cross, and God provides that forgiveness and that healing and that restoration. But what I find is a lot of people go to the cross with that sin, but then they take it back and they put it back in their backpack. And it's as if Satan just continues to beat us down with that. So we need to repent of any sexual sins of our past. We need to look to the Lord for guidance. And as I said, more is caught than is taught.
We have a listener in Bangor, Maine. John in Bangor, Maine wants to know what your opinion is about healthy romantic expressions of love that parents demonstrate towards each other in front of their children. Obviously nothing of a sexual nature, nothing like having makeout sessions in front of them, but
right,
I'm talking
right.
about cuddling in front of the TV and other acts of affection, kissing each other on the cheek. And isn't this a healthy thing for children to witness their parents doing?
Yeah, and that's a great point to bring up. And I know sometimes people in the church can be really legalistic on things. But certainly, you know, those hugs and kisses, that is we do want to display affection for one another, definitely in front of our children. So, that I have no problem with, and I try not to be in the legalistic mode. But again, you know, we want to follow Scripture, but it doesn't address that per se. So, that's fine.
Well, John in Bangor, Maine, please give us your full mailing address, because you have also won 10 tips on how not to talk to your kids about sex. Compliments of our guest today, Audrey Werner, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will be shipping that out to you at no cost to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, let's go to tip number two. Approach the topic with modesty. You obviously already addressed modesty a bit, but if you could elaborate on that as far as the tip.
With that, I started out that chapter talking about something that was really interesting when I started this ministry 20 years ago at the Lutheran school where it was my alma mater where I had gone as a child. And I remember in fourth grade getting that book from the Learning About Sex series, getting that book and feeling very uncomfortable with the material in it, you know, the pictures of the naked genitals. And the descriptions in it. And I remember as a child, I guess that's my way of protecting my innocence, putting it in my desk at the farthest away point, the deepest part of my desk I could get it to. Fast forward to now I'm an adult, and my firstborn was going to that same school. He was in kindergarten, and they still had the Learning About Sex series there. So I... of course, that's where I started my research and realized what was happening. And I asked the principal, I said, you know, some parents have some concerns about the Learning About Sex series. Could I meet with them? And what I would do is I would give them the book for that age group, which has the description of sexual intercourse in it, what needs to go into what and all of that. And so I would pick a father out of the crowd, and I would give him the book, and I'd say, okay, could you read this to everybody here? And there'd be dead silence, and of course he couldn't read it because of modesty that he had. And I said, okay, then why are we doing this in the classroom with our children? So, God has, as I said, earlier in the show, God even models modesty in Scripture as Solomon goes from the thigh to the navel. But I want to read you a quote that I have in the book, and it's from, I love this book. It was written in 1912 by Mrs. Woodall and Chapman, and she wrote a book called How Shall I Tell My Child? And I thought, oh, is this really what I think it is? And it was. Well, someone in the book had, toward the end, she kind of had a Q&A section, and in it, someone had asked if she should tell her daughter of 14 everything. And so this is what she, how the author answered her. To this mother, I say with renewed emphasis that information does not protect. I would be extremely careful in what I said to a girl of 14. To tell her everything in detail, as this mother suggests, might be to put her in a place of great danger. We must remember that just at this period of her life, the creative forces of her being are receiving a new impulse. Not only are new powers awakening in her body, but in her mind as well. Especially is her imagination increasing greatly in its activity, and it is prone to follow any suggestion made to it along the line of this new process of development. And therein lies the danger of the plan this mother proposes. Now, I think that's a wonderful quote, and this is a woman who didn't have 50 years of data of what has happened since sex education has come out. I really believe this is the Holy Spirit speaking through this woman, because words, sexual words and images are powerful, and so it's really important that we approach this topic with a tremendous amount of modesty, just as God does in Scripture.
By the way, I don't know if I told John in Bangor, Maine, that he won a copy of the book, but you did, John, so just make sure we have your full mailing address in Bangor, Maine. Identity matters. We've been hearing that phrase or that word identity a lot lately in the media and in very disturbing ways. But what do you mean by this chapter titled Identity Matters?
Well, again, going back to, well, 1 Peter 2:9, that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I think the thing that is so important is, you're right, we are, children are being given this new identity. I'll give you, here's an example. This is a book called Sex is a Funny Word, which is being used with children in preschool now. And here's a quote from the book. It says, when we were born, a doctor or a midwife calls us a boy or a girl because of what we look like on the outside. They choose a word or label, usually boy or girl or male or female, to describe our bodies. But that's based on our outside, our cover, and who they think we are. What about our whole body inside and out? What about who we think we are? So again, planting that identity or that question of your identity is really under great attack today, because our identity is in Jesus Christ and the maleness and the femaleness that he has created, and now that is under attack. So, again, it's really important that we are nurturing our children's relationship with the Lord, because if their identity is in the Lord, then that will speak volumes. And I quote a friend of mine who wrote a book called The Failure of Sex Education in the Church, Linda Bartlett. And I love what she said. She said, it matters how we identify ourselves. If we're mistaken about our identity, we're going to be mistaken about our purpose, our behavior, and our choices. So if we focus on their identity in Jesus Christ, that's going to affect their behavior, their purpose, and their choices. So, again, we want to counter what the world is throwing at them, which is to have that sexual identity, which can go in any direction nowadays. So it's really important that we focus on that with our children.
We have an anonymous listener who says, I have friends who see nothing wrong with the beauty pageants that little tiny children, prepubescent children, are involved in, particularly, obviously, little girls. They are very often dressed in provocative clothing that even adults, if they are Christian, should not be wearing in public. What is your guest's view of these events, which very often, especially in the South, are participated in by Christians?
Again, you know, parents are, you are the first and last line of protection for your children. So the world is trying to sexualize children at younger and younger ages. I remember being in a department store and seeing thongs for elementary school children and thinking, oh, my gosh, what parent would do this? So, again, common sense would tell you that we don't want to sexualize our children. Judith Reisman, who is the leading expert on Kinsey, she had done a great amount of, it's interesting, she used to work for, way back in the day, Captain Kangaroo on television, which was a children's program when I was very young.
Yes, and one of my favorite shows as a kid. In fact, yes. Bob Keeshan, Captain Kangaroo, lived on Long Island, in West Babylon, Long Island, and he actually lived right behind the First Baptist Church of Babylon, Long Island. And used to occasionally visit that church, although I don't know anything about his personal faith when he was still with us on this earth. But just thought I'd throw that trivia out there.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and her background in, and that's, she also then saw how images, you know, because again, she's dealing with television and images and those types of things. And she started to do an extensive research as she's researching on Kinsey on pornography. As a matter of fact, I think she served on there was a team that President Reagan had put together to address the pornography issue with James Dobson was on it and Judith was on it. And in her study of pornography, now this was, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and she found that a third of pornography had children images of children as sexual beings in the pornography magazine. So, again, adopting Kinsey's, you know, children are sexual from birth. So when we're sexualizing children, we're, again, they're getting that sexual identity, as well as the adult who has been, has believed this lie through pornography that children are sexual. And I have a quote, because I'm talking about in the identity how each profession has changed. We've adopted this children are sexual from birth, so now schools have sex education. We've adopted it, and now when you take your 13-year-old son to the pediatrician, he's going to pull him aside and ask him if he's sexually active, because we've been taught through our medical training that, you know, kids are going to be sexually active. And, of course, churches have adopted sex education. The laws have changed. The restrictions or the penalty for a pedophile used to be that he was thrown in prison and the key was thrown away, or he was put to death. That was a pretty strong deterrent. But now, because Kinsey said it's not harmful, the pedophile now is therapeutically managed and put back on the streets. But I put a quote in the book that just talks about, again, the sexualizing of children, and it is the extreme seductiveness of a young female is a factor which has no place in the law, but it certainly affects motivation. Even at the age of 4 or 5, the seductiveness may be so powerful as to overwhelm the adult into committing the offense. The affair is therefore not always the result of the adult's aggression. Often the young female is the initiator and the seducer. So we're talking about a 4-year-old, saying a 4-year-old is a seducer. And this is the Vanderbilt Law Review, which affected loosening those penalties against the pedophile.
Wow, because that seems like an area that even most leftists would be appalled by.
Well, but that's why the laws change. That's why you can go on your website and find, you know, the pedophile in your neighborhood, you know, all the sex offenders that are registered, and because they're allowed to be out there because this kind of junk was brought in, and the laws were changed based on, again, Kinsey's science. So, going back to the beauty pageant, obviously what's happening is we're sexualizing children, and that's very wrong, very, very wrong, taking away their moral innocence.
Yeah, how about, I have a feeling I know where you're going to go with this, judging by what you just said, but something that's more common all over the United States and perhaps the world, is not something as elaborate as a beauty pageant, but even I have seen, and I've gotten knots in the pit of my stomach when I see parents do this, but they will get such a big kick and a big laugh out of bringing out their young, tiny child, particularly a girl, who can dance and sing to the top pop artists, very often who are singing very provocative and sexually driven songs. This is really totally out of line, isn't it?
Well, and I always thought you were going to bring up, like, dance competitions. You know, a lot of children get into dance, and they can have, you know, very provocative outfits or dances that they do as well. So, again, but, you know, these are parents who were born into the sexual revolution and know no different. This certainly isn't something you would have done 100 years ago. So we've all been lied to and deceived, and we've shifted in how we look at children. And, again, we have got to get back to how we used to look at children, which was they were holy and innocent, and we protected their innocence.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. And by the way, our anonymous listener who wrote in, if you provide for us your full name and mailing address, of course, off the air, we are not going to divulge who you are on the air. But if you provide us with that information, we will have CVBBS ship you a free copy of 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex. Since we're going to our elongated break today, and this is a longer break because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program, needs to localize Zion Trip and Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida by airing their own public service announcements and commercials during this break. So while we air our commercials that we have globally airing, please
take the time to write down the information provided by our advertisers. Even if right now you don't think that you're going to respond to the ad, you have no interest in what the advertiser is promoting, maybe you will in the future. Maybe you can even just send them an email telling them that you thank them for supporting Iron Trip and Zion Radio. But please write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them whenever possible, because the more often you do that, the more likely our advertisers are going to remain our advertisers, and that means the more likely we as a radio program are going to continue to exist. So please do that, and also write down questions for our guest, Audrey Werner, on 10 tips how not to talk to your kids about sex. Obviously, you can ask any question regarding sex education and the rearing of children and so on. And our email address, again, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we're going to be right back after this station break with more of Audrey Werner and 10 tips on how not to talk to your kids about sex. Don't go away. One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us.
Hello, that's my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by His life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and His church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, Scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org. hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689. 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And if you call 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, you have an alternative way to order items from cvbbs.com. And if you mention Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you will get 50% off the Basics of the Faith booklet series. Each booklet highlights a major tenet of Christianity. And so please make sure you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when ordering so you can get 50% off. When you order online, the only way that you can mention my show
is by clicking on instructions after you order, after you place the order, and you could type, I heard about your program on Iron Trip and Zion Radio, or from Chris Arnes in that area of the website. But obviously, if you call, you can verbally tell Todd and Petty Jennings, the owners, that you heard about their wonderful company on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. I have a few announcements to make before we return to our guest, our fascinating interview, our second interview with Audrey Werner. This time we are discussing her book, 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex. But before we return to that discussion, I have a few announcements. First of all, are the pew Bibles in your church falling apart? Are they filled with children's graffiti, perhaps? Perhaps pages are falling out? Or perhaps the leadership of your congregation feels that it wants to move on to a different translation than they are currently using in those pew Bibles? Well, please, I'm urging you to consider seriously and prayerfully replacing your pew Bibles in your church with the New American Standard Bible, especially if you love Iron Trip and Zion Radio, because the publishers of the New American Standard Bible, also known as the NASB, have been supporting this program ever since we initially launched in 2005, very generously, and in fact, they've been supporting me financially with every major event that I have ever orchestrated, going back to the early 1990s. For over a decade, I have had public moderated theological debates featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and the publishers of the New American Standard helped to sponsor financially every one of those events. And I have gone far beyond those 10 years of debates and have been doing orchestrating debates and other events up to this present day. And the publishers of the NASB continue faithfully sponsoring whatever I do. So obviously, if you love this show and you want it to continue, you can help us continue on the air by purchasing your Bibles from nasbible.com, nasbible.com, and especially if you are ordering Bibles for your entire congregation in the pews, that way you can place, obviously, an enormous order, depending upon the size of your church, of course. But please, if you are not personally in a position of authority in your congregation, please tell your deacons and your elders about nasbible.com and have them prayerfully consider replacing your pew Bibles with that wonderful and biblically faithful translation. That's nasbible.com, nasbible.com. Now we have a few announcements as far as special events that I want you to know about. First of all, the Striving for Eternity Ministries, founded by my dear friend Andrew Rappaport. They are having their upcoming conference titled Sanctification Through Suffering, March 15th through the 16th in New Jersey. The speakers include Justin Peters. If you don't know who Justin Peters is, you've got to know about him. He is a dear brother with cerebral palsy, and one of his missions in life is to expose the dangerous and heretical Word of Faith Pentecostals for the frauds and charlatans that they are, and heretics on top of that. And so he is one of the speakers at this Sanctification Through Suffering conference. Frank Mullis is also one of the speakers. Frank Mullis is actually going to be our guest tomorrow, and his area of expertise is not totally foreign to what we're talking about today, because Frank is a counselor to prison inmates who are sexual offenders, one of a very rare career for someone to have, and I thank God that a Christian and a biblically sound Christian is in that position, and so we thank Frank for his service. He'll be one of the speakers. Joe Suozzo is one of the speakers, and Colleen Sharp, or should I say Colleen, I'm sorry, Colleen Sharp is also a speaker. She was just our guest on Tuesday here on Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. And this is going to be held in New Jersey. I certainly hope that everyone within driving distance to New Jersey can attend this at the Chinese American Bible Church in Freehold, New Jersey. But if you want more details, just go to strivingforeternity.org, strivingforeternity.org. Then coming up, not so far away from now, in May 28th through the 30th, our friends at the Banner of Truth are having their next East Coast Ministers Conference in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. I will be there, God willing, and I hope to meet you there as well. They are going to be speaking on I Believe in the Holy Spirit. That is the theme, and the speakers include Jeff Kingswood, Terry Johnson, David Vaughn, who's a Reformed Baptist missionary in France, Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and Michael Morales and Chad Vegas. That's I Believe in the Holy Spirit, the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth. For more details, go to banneroftruth.org. banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then click on East Coast Ministers Conference. And of course, there are other conferences that the Banner of Truth is conducting, and one of those other conferences might be closer to where you live, because I know that we have listeners globally in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience, and so they have a West Coast conference, and they also have a conference in the United Kingdom. So wherever they are having a conference, if you prefer going to one closer to you, look for that conference on banneroftruth.org. And then coming up in December, I am returning to Manhattan, my old stomping grounds, for the Foundations Conference, a conference conducted by our friends at Sermon Audio. This is December 19th through the 20th in Manhattan, and I really hope that you join me there. In fact, if you intend to register, I would strongly urge you to register very soon, because it's a very small venue. They seat only about 200 people at this church in Manhattan where the conference is being held. Speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, who you just heard announcing an advertisement, narrating an advertisement for our sponsors, New Covenant Church NYC. Stephen J. Lawson of One Passion Ministries is speaking. Reverend Jeff Thomas, a phenomenal Reformed Baptist preacher and teacher, who you've got to hear if you've never heard him. What a precious brother in Christ with phenomenal gifts and yet extremely humble. Reverend Jeff Thomas from Wales. Richard Caldwell Jr. is speaking. Reverend Armin Tomasian, who I met at the Foundations Conference 2 years ago approximately, and what a gifted man of God he is, and I'm sure that he is going to become in the near future, in the years ahead, a much more well-known figure than he currently is because of his gifts that have been given to him by God. He is just remarkable. And Andrew Quigley is also on the roster. So if you'd like to attend this conference along with me, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, December 19th and the 20th in Manhattan. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves. You love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones. You love the topics and guests that we have on the show that very frequently are never heard on any other program. Well, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by using that method of donating to us. There will also be an address, a snail mail physical address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. So if you prefer the old-fashioned way of mailing things, you can make out a check to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and mail it to that address. We also want to remind you, never ever siphon money away from your regular giving to the local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. Supporting my radio show is not obviously a command of God, but if you love this show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please consider including Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your benevolence fund budget. You might even want to consider asking your pastors and deacons to put it in a church budget if indeed this show is popular in your congregation. But please, remember those two caveats. Never siphon money away from your church or put your family in financial jeopardy. If you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please donate as heavily as you can and as frequently as you can, because we really need your donations to survive. We've got some very large bills that we still have not yet paid that need to be paid very quickly. So please help us out at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe here, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we really do need your advertising dollars as well. If you don't have a church home where you live, you're not prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. Every Christian, to be biblically faithful, needs to be a member of a local Bible-believing church and under the authority of its elders. So please, if you do not have a church home and you need help finding one, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put in the subject line something like, I need a church home. I have found a number of people, churches, where they have either visited or joined as a result of emailing me, and all over the world I've gotten emails from brothers and sisters in Christ looking for churches, and I've helped them all so far to find a church near them. And you could be one of them by sending me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. I need a church home in the subject line. And now we are returning to our discussion on 10 tips on how not to talk to your kids about sex with our guest Audrey Werner, who is the author of that book. And if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state and country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Tip number four, Audrey, don't use the sex word, if you could elaborate.
I did some research on some of the words that we use, and sex has changed in its meaning, just as the word gay has changed in its meaning through the years, and also connected to the sexual revolution. I looked up the word sex in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and it said the distinction between male and female, or the property or character by which an animal is male or female. The male sex is usually characterized by muscular strength, boldness, and firmness. The female is characterized by softness, sensibility, and modesty. Then looked at the 1935 Webster Dictionary, and it still had the physical distinction between male and female. It wasn't until Kinsey's books were launched, first in 1948, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, and then Sexual Behavior in the Human Female, that we notice in 1953 a third definition is added to the term sex, which is anything connected with sexual gratification or reproduction. If we look at that word, when we say sex, what does that mean today? It could mean a whole host of things. And if we look to Scripture and how God uses words in Scripture, we note that chaste is mentioned three times, pure, and other forms of the word pure, purely, pureness, pure, purify, and purity are mentioned 130 times in the Bible. If you look up the word sex, sexuality, or sexual intercourse, it's not mentioned in God's Word. So the point is, when we look to even the Lord referencing to procreation, it's to know, to become one flesh, to beget. So looking at all of that, we have raised our children, when they were young, we called it the marital act, which means only one thing between a husband and wife. So the point is that when we use the term sex, we have to be careful because the world interprets it totally different than what the Lord does. So it's important that we understand what does God's Word have to say about that. So that's why we say don't use the sex word.
Great. We have, let's see here, we have Christian in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who asks, normally when a preacher is faithful to the Word of God and teaching the whole counsel of God, issues regarding sex come up in sermons. how can we shelter our children from discussions over these things if they are sitting with us in a pew in a church hearing a sermon that has some kind of reference to sex acts, either godly ones that are biblically permitted or some that are wicked and abominations?
Right. And again, even, and I have heard that a lot from people who have said to me that they were in a church, heard a very graphic sermon, and wish that their child had not been sitting next to them. Because again, pastors today were born into the sexual revolution. So in terms of modesty and how we approach these topics, we've become a very graphic society. So that also carries into sometimes the sermons. Sometimes pastors will give you the disclaimer of, if you have a child under the age of 13, you know, we recommend that they leave. But sometimes you don't have that. So, again, when we look to God's Word and how He models a tremendous amount of modesty, even when we're approaching any of these topics in Scripture, you hope that they would do that. But, yeah, that's a good point that Christian makes, is that how do you shield? Because there is sometimes even churches can be a culprit of taking away children's moral innocence. Sometimes youth pastors can be extremely graphic, sometimes Sunday school teachers. So again, going back to God's Word, how does He model it to us? And if that has happened to your child, you know, taking them back to God's Word and how He models modesty. I have to share that when we started with our children in this, and I'm a nurse, I'm an RN, so I started with using the correct term for the genitals, and I had to go back and apologize to my children that I realized where that came from, and that wasn't coming from God and His Word, and I want to honor God in how I approach this. So I asked for their forgiveness, and then I said, we're going to do this differently. We're going to talk about, you know, we're going to say the marital act. We're going to say the private parts instead of the names for the genitals. So, you know, we shifted that. And but he does bring up, I appreciate Christian bringing up that point, because it's heartbreaking, but sometimes it does happen in the church as well.
Well, let me follow up with that. Obviously, not every pastor is going to be graphic in his language with a detailed description of a sex act, but there are passages in the Scripture. Mm-hmm. If a pastor is involved in expository preaching, there are texts that have mention of sex acts that of course, as I was saying, they are not detailed, well, at least in our English translations, because from what I understand from my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who's a Greek scholar, New Testament Greek scholar, the term that Paul uses for homosexual is actually male penetrator, which is actually obviously a vividly graphic term.
Right.
But other than that, well, since most of us are using English Bibles, how do you respond to a pastor who is basically bringing up monogamy within marriage or a prohibition to homosexuality, something like that, where he's not giving people titillating details, graphic descriptions,
right,
but he's just mentioning something that is in the God-breathed text.
Right, right. Again, I think those things can be said, but I think a pastor also has to be, as I said, not looking at children through Jesus' eyes, but Kinsey's eyes. So if a pastor is covering those topics, perhaps does a child need to be in that sermon, hearing that sermon? Would that be something that the parent would have sat down and talked about, polygamy or some of these other issues? So, I'm not a theological expert in regards to that, but I would just hope that a pastor would use discernment in terms of how much they're getting into it, and then understanding that they've got children in the congregation there. Is that a message that they should be hearing at that age?
We have, by the way, Christian, you've won a free book, 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex. So give us your full mailing address in Suffolk County, Long Island. We have the next tip, teach self-control.
Yes, that is in regards to what is called masturbation now, what used to be called self-abuse, actually. And in most circles today, actually in school even, children are taught that it's healthy to masturbate, that this is the first way that they can obtain sexual pleasure. Some child experts will say that's no problem with that. But I quote the woman from 1912 because I think she said it so beautifully. Her chapter was called When a Wrongful Habit Has Been Formed. And what she said is, from the very first hour of its birth, the baby is either being taught self-indulgence or self-control through every experience of its daily life. She, a mother, can tell him or her of the sacredness of that part of the body because it's connected with the bringing in of children into the world and the great need of guarding it carefully from all possible harm. Tell the child that those organs are as sensitive as the eye and would be greatly harmed by rubbing or other misuse as the eye would be. So it's a good point in that, are we teaching self-control? Are we teaching self-indulgence? And what I say in the book is definitely we don't overreact because that is there, and a child sitting in a tub is going to find it, and it'll be there. And how we respond is also very important. You're not to get emotional or to scold the child, but simply redirect the activity for the very young child. It's something where we're teaching self-control versus, as it used to be called, self-abuse, or as this author called it, self-indulgence. So I thought that was a good way to put that. So that was something I thought that needed to be addressed in the book.
Sure. Well, we have to go to our final break right now. It's a lot more brief than the last one. If you have a question, send it in now, chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, because we're rapidly running out of time. We hope to hear from you soon with your question. And the remainder of our program with Audrey Werner on 10 tips on how not to talk to your kids about sex. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back. Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own." You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org. And you can mark your calendars for our next interview with Joe Jackowitz, who is the founder of First Love Radio. And he is also now involved in pastoral relations for the all-new Family Radio, the radio network once headed by Harold Camping, who sank deeply into heresy. And we are praising God that Family Radio has publicly repented of teaching Harold Camping's heretical and dangerous doctrines. They have purged the network of all of his teaching, and they are an all-new network, biblically faithful to the Word of God. We're so happy about that. And Joe Jackowitz is going to be speaking on what's happening at Family Radio for the first hour, and the second hour he's going to be speaking on who ministers to the ministers. And that's going to be on Wednesday, March 20th, from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. For our Missouri Synod Lutheran listeners, so since our guest today is of that denomination, we also have coming up very shortly on March 5th, Tuesday, March 5th, Brian Ketchelmeyer. He is going to be addressing his book, published by Concordia Publishing House, Reading Isaiah with Luther. So we hope that you make a note to listen in on Tuesday, the 5th of March, for Brian Ketchelmeyer. We are now back with our discussion with Audrey Werner, 10 Tips How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com if you have a question. And since Since Maggie in Plano, Texas, was instrumental in getting you as our guest today, Audrey, we will allow her a second question because she just sent in one. And her question is, let's see, I've got to enlarge this font because it's microscopic. So while I'm doing that, I'm going to ask our listeners, if you have a question, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. And we have the question from Maggie in Plano, Texas. I'd love it if Audrey would address what seems to me to be a common misconception in the church about the scripture, which is often quoted that the marriage bed is undefiled, when in fact it says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. And that's from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. There seems to be a huge distinction with a difference.
Okay. When I started this ministry 20 years ago, my focus was sex education, because the Lutheran sex ed series, the Learning About Sex series published by Concordia Publishing House, had developed that sex education series with the use of Alfred Kinsey science, known humanist, and people who worked for Planned Parenthood. And in doing that, I thought, okay, I can wake up parents to that. But in researching sex education, which came out of the sexual revolution, I also had to look at other issues, such as the life issue, the birth control issue, because all churches were against birth control until the teachings of Margaret Sanger and Alfred Kinsey influenced many in the church to shift on that. And then we have the issue of the marriage bed being pure and undefiled. And, of course, people think of the adultery issue there. But many Christian books, I tend to go, when I go into churches, I go to their libraries and I start looking in the section where either the Christian sex ed section or the books on marriage. And a lot of people will tell me this, that their pastor, if they have a question about something that's happening in the marriage bed, that they'll go and talk to the pastors. And oftentimes the advice that they get is, as long as you're both comfortable with it, as long as you're both consenting, whatever you do behind closed doors is okay. And that's a very dangerous statement to make, given the society that we live in today and what has been normalized. Just the act of sodomy, we talked earlier about Paul's description of the homosexual, in the King James Version, talking about the sodomite, the effeminate, and those types of things. And, again, that comes back to the normalization of acts that happen in the marriage bed. So I think when I'm looking at that, it's not just adultery, but it's beyond that. It's what are we doing? Are we honoring God, behind closed doors? So I'm not sure if that answers her question in regards to that, but that is the third area where I think that the church has bought into the lies that came out of the sexual revolution, and it has many in the church have shifted their stance in accepting sodomy in the marriage bed when it was, clearly a perversion prior to the sexual revolution.
Yeah, from what I'm reading in Maggie's question, she is basically saying that I'm assuming that people are leaving out the part that let marriage be held in honor among all. I guess that's what she is saying. Because, but thank you, Maggie, for another excellent question. And she did inform us that she does not have the book, so we're going to have it shipped to Plano, Texas. Our friends at CVBBS.com, that is, are shipping it to Plano, Texas. So thank you for giving us your full mailing address over there. And please, if you could, explain foundations. Use the Bible to talk with your children.
Yeah, that is just to encourage parents that we have such a rich resource in using the Bible to talk to our children about marriage, the first marriage being Adam and Eve. We can talk about God's life process in Genesis 4 with Adam knowing his wife and generations beginning. As I referenced earlier, the word purity, just looking up that, the 130 references in Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word? Talking about pornography, we addressed with our sons in their junior high years, talking about the Proverbs 6 and 7, the seductive woman and the not-so-smart guy, and how, that seductive woman is pornography today. So, learning lessons from that. How do we treat one another? How do, First Timothy 5, verse 1, where Paul exhorts Timothy to treat all young women as sisters with all purity. And our young, our sons, as they got into high school and saw their peers dating and what they were doing and trying to apply that scripture of, but that doesn't, I'm not treating her as a sister if I do that, and I'm not treating her with purity. And talking to our teenagers, the difference between biblical love and lust. When I work in the Crisis Pregnancy Center and sit down with young people and we talk about that 1 Corinthians passages where it talks about love is patient, and I'll ask them, okay, well, what's the opposite of that? And they say, well, in a hurry. And I said, well, that, okay. And then they say, well, love is kind. What's the opposite? Well, not so nice, unkind. So going through each one of those attributes, which lists what biblical love is, and then having them identify what is the opposite of each one, then at the end they'll say, okay, that's lust. That's lust. And of course, the young person will go, gosh, I thought I was in love, but I'm not. I'm in lust. And I want biblical love. That's what I want. So it's just such a rich source that we can use in using Scripture. So that's what that chapter is about, is talking about how we use God's Word to educate our children.
And you have next, when your child asks you questions about sex, ask them more questions first. It sounds like you are telling people to imitate Jesus there. not that Jesus was specifically talking about sex, but he would always follow up questions with questions. And
that's right.
I've heard that's a very Jewish thing.
Well, you want to clarify, because if Johnny comes to you and says, Mommy, where am I from? He could want to know what city he was born in. That may not mean that, oh my gosh, I have to sit down and do the sex talk. So it's really important that we ask more questions of our children. And if your children are giving you they're giving you graphic information that they've been exposed to, you need to find out where that source is coming from and handle that. I give the example in the book of, and I've had parents say, oh my gosh, my child got this graphic information. And I give the example of our one son in second grade. He was, it was evening and he was taking a bath, and I stuck my head in. I said, are you okay? You need anything? And my son, shared with me something graphic that he had been exposed to in school. And when I was talking to him, I said, do you remember when we talked about the flower? And he goes, yeah, and the importance of the marital act. And he said, yeah. And I said, that is such a holy procreative act that God doesn't even talk about it in detail in Scripture, because it's such a special gift between a husband and a wife. And he goes, really? And that's all the information he needed at that time. So it's really important that when our children are asking us questions, that we probe a little bit more and find out what exactly are they trying to get? What kind of information are they trying to get from us? So that was the point of that.
Look at your children through the eyes of Jesus.
Yes, that is really important, because we're a generation that believes that we're supposed to give graphic information to our children, but that didn't come, that came from a really bad source. So it's important that we look at how did Jesus treat children in Scripture, and he even warns, in Matthew 18, verse 6, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it'd be better for him to have a millstone around his neck and he is drowned in the depths of the sea. We don't want to lead our little ones to sin. We don't want to lead them to sexual sin. Sexual information, sexual words and images are powerful. So again, instead of us looking, we want to make sure that we're not looking at our children through Kinsey's eyes, which would mean they're sexual beings from birth and they need to be taught how to handle their sexuality, to rather, these are precious children of the Lord, and how would Jesus treat them? So that is some of what I talk about in that chapter.
And this, I think, may clear up a lot of confusion that there may be some listeners that are thinking wrongly in regarding or misinterpreting some of the things you're saying. And this is, we want our children to be morally innocent, but not naive.
Yes, yes. Some parents would say that I'm just not going to address it all. I'm just going to, try and keep them completely ignorant of that. And that's the wrong approach, because we do need to give them a foundation. We need to give them a biblical foundation that they can then build upon. We need to give them God's view versus what the world is trying to impress upon them. So I share in there the importance of, well, when I first got up to speak about this matter, I was serving in the Lutheran school where I had, been, I had gone there as a child, and now my oldest is in kindergarten there, and they had, that year was the year to review all the curriculums, so I was put on the sex ed curriculum review committee, and I had to get up and speak for 15 minutes on why I thought Kinsey was in their sex ed, and it was the most difficult 15 minutes of my life, but it was the first time I ever spoke about Kinsey being in sex ed. And at the end of it, a gentleman got up and was very angry, a Lutheran teacher, and he said, why you, why now? This sex ed program's been out for 30 years. Why are you questioning this, and why isn't anybody else? And then he went on to share how he hadn't gotten any information and how he was embarrassed in the locker room. So we can give basic information to our children, and we still can protect their moral innocence, but we don't want to not give them any information so that they're completely naive. So that is the point with that chapter.
So we actually have time for tip number 10. The sexual revolution can continue with our children, or it can end with our children.
Yes. I give a bit more history of the sexual revolution in that chapter, and that morality is really a national security issue. Samuel Adams, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, said, "A general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. But when once they lose their virtue, they'll be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader." The whole pillar of the sexual revolution is sex education. There are three, if you're going to shift a Christian nation away from God, there's three areas that you target. You target the men because they're the head of the family, so pornography is legalized in the 1950s. You target marriage because it's the foundation of the family. And so it wasn't gay marriage becoming legal that was the attack on marriage, but going back even further to when sex outside of marriage became legal, because it used to be illegal. And then the third is to attack the children, which is sex education. So it's really critical that we remove sex education from the schools, that we give it back to the parents, because the parents are the first and last line of defense for their children. They are the ones that God commands to be the one raising up their children and educating their children. And so it's important that parents understand, are they going to allow other people to give their children a different identity, or are they going to take on the role and the responsibility of impressing upon their children their identity being in Jesus Christ and living pure lives in a very sexualized society?
Well, I just really, really enjoyed this very extremely informative interview with you, Audrey, and I look forward to your return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the future. Please keep us updated on anything else you're writing, or if there's another subject related to this that you'd like to address. But I want to make sure our listeners have all of your contact information. The Matthew 18 ministry website is Matthew18.org, Matthew18.org, or you could use Roman numerals as well, MatthewXVIII.org. And do you have anything else in regard to contact information that you'd like to share?
Yeah, they can contact me. We also have the Matthew 18 Facebook page, so you can also check out the ministry there. It's called the Matthew 18 Group as well. So, I would love to hear from anybody.
Well, thank you so much. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And make sure you mark your calendar for tomorrow. Frank Mullis, a Christian counselor for sex offenders, will be on the program. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner. We look forward to hearing from you and your questions for our guest tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.